Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network. Welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings here at Allegheny Center Alliance Church with your host, John Stanko. This program will focus on people, events, and current ministries at ACAC, a vibrant urban congregation in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. This is John Stanko, your host, hopefully with some guests today. Looking at the screen, they haven't called in yet. Had anticipated and still hoping that Pastor Glenn Hanna, who is heading off to Russia soon, will be joining us, the missions pastor at ACAC, along with Dr. Kathy Sigmund, who is a friend of mine, attends ACAC, also a full-time faculty member at Geneva College, but has consistently worked in the North Side neighborhood, where her congregation is, even though she does not live there. And I understand she and Pastor Glenn wanted to discuss an initiative that is taking place up in the Northview Heights section of our city. So hopefully they will be calling in and we can chat a little bit about what's going on. Listening in, this weekend is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers who are listening or who will be listening, or if you're listening after the Mother's Day has come and gone. We still wish you a happy Mother's Day and pray that God will give you grace and strength to be the kind of mother that he would want you to be. So I trust everything went well this past weekend at ACAC. I was in New York City, where I will be again this weekend. So while I missed ACAC, I did not miss the marathon weekend. That's not one of my favorite weekends, but I know many, many people are really passionate about the marathon, and many people from the church ran, and a lot of people ran from Light of Life, and it's a fundraising effort for many ministries and organizations, so God bless them all, and I'll give them a little bit of money. I just and I'm a big sports fan, but marathons are not part of what I enjoy. So anyway, I trust everything went well. I'm sure that it did. We got to really have been getting good reports on Pastor Blaine and his recovery. He is back home after his open heart surgery and doing quite well. And got a brief update from his wife today saying that all is well, and I think he took very minimal pain medications yesterday. And so anyway, so that's a good report. They're looking at the bulletin, not much to discuss. Not much has taken place. Not so much has taken place, but nothing new that we haven't talked about in past weeks. So I see Pastor Glenn is on the phone. We're still waiting. Hopefully Dr. Sigmund is going to call in. Just a couple of things that pertain to me. One is the purpose-only seminar that I will be holding, not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, May the 16th, from noon to 4:30. And I want to encourage you, we need to have you register. It is free. So please let us know if you're coming. And that's May 16th, noon to 4:30. Also, nothing that pertains to ACAC particularly, necessarily. But next Tuesday morning, I'll be at Duquesne University for their last leadership breakfast of a series that they've been holding over the years. And they are phasing their program out. And I am getting in just under the wire. So I'll be talking about creativity, and by the way, just yesterday received in the mail my new book, Unlocking the Power of Your Creativity, to go along with my Unlocking the Power of Your Purpose, and I have two more unlockings that I want to produce. One is Unlocking the Power of Teamwork, and one is Unlocking the Power of Rest. And so those will be coming down the road, but Unlocking the Power of Your Creativity is available now on Amazon. Not yet the Kindle version. It will be available, but But right now the paper version is available. Okay, I'm just looking down the bulletin here. The Man Up Conference, June 6th, Orchard Hill Church. Join Mike Tomlin, Ed Glover, Tunch Ilgen, Derwin Gray for an incredible, not just dynamic, incredibly dynamic day of worship, teaching, fellowship, and breakfast sessions. Breakfast and lunch are included. To learn more, register to manuppittsburgh.org. Man Up Pittsburgh, and it looks a little strange. It has two P's, O-R-G, and check it out. And I know we always send a lot of men up there for the event, so we trust that you will be one of them. Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring Pastor Glenn on. I think it's Pastor. Maybe they're both on. I don't know. I don't see. Let's see who's on this line. Pastor Glenn, is that you?
Yes, it is me. How are you today, John?
Very well, Glenn. How are you doing?
Just fine. Just fine.
Good. Good.
Eager to hear about the release of your new book on creativity, The Power of Creativity. And
yes.
Creativity is sort of an interesting topic. I wonder if it is more accessible to people who are engaged in work and in life and in the fulfillment of their purpose in God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what we wrote on the cover of the book, Lynn, is that, you know, my work and purpose took me into coaching people in their creativity because once they released, gave themselves to be permission to be purposeful, the creativity was right behind it. And not just creativity to sculpt or to write, but to start businesses or to shape their world or their life according to what it was that God wanted them to do. So I never saw the two that closely related, but it's like when I let the one out of the cage, the other one came running out too, and it's really been interesting. And so and the point I make in the book is that we're all creative. I mean, just what we're doing here, how we string our sentences together, our thoughts, how we planned our day to be able to get to this point, what we're going to do once we finish the interview, you know, all that's an expression of creativity. And so sometimes when people say, oh, I'm not that creative, I say, no. We are all very creative. We were created in the image of the Creator, and we are little creatives. And you know, really interesting dynamic of how we view creativity, because some people just see anything creative they do as the Lord gave it to me. The Lord laid it on my heart. But that's not what he did with Adam. When Adam named the animals, whatever Adam came up with, that was the name of the animal. Now, God directs the work, but somehow we partner in it and express our creativity under his lordship. And, of course, once people, or if they're not properly related to lordship, then their creativity goes amok, and you got Las Vegas and all kinds of evil and wickedness. But if we're rightly related to God, then eventually, hopefully, if we continue to submit to him, our creativity will become all that he wants it to be. And so anyway, it's been an interesting study. And so
sure.
I hope our listeners will take advantage of it and not just read it, but as I said earlier, give themselves permission to be creative and do the work that God wants them to do in a way that only they can do it. So
I think that sometimes,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we have a tendency to think of creativity only in terms of artistic ability,
right?
And
right.
I think that's not the case.
Yeah, exactly right. You know how we raise our children. I mean, you know how you're now relating to your grandchildren is what time are you going to spend with them? What are you going to do when you do spend time with them? That's all an expression of our creativity. Menu planning, preaching. In fact, on my website, purposequest.com, a couple of years ago I was teaching or writing a lot about creativity, so I had people send in their creative expressions of life, and I think there are about 125, 150 on my website. You can go under archives and miscellaneous articles, and you know, choreography, gardening, speaking, just some of the basic things that we would not think is creative. And sometimes too, Glenn, I think people think that if they don't have a thought that has never been thought in the history of the world, then it's not creative. But I like to use the example of bottled water. The people who, quote unquote, created or invented bottled water did not invent the bottle. They did not invent water. They didn't invent the cap. All they did was creatively put those things together. And today you have a multi-billion-dollar industry. And so it doesn't have to be something that no one has ever done or thought. It can be, but in most cases, it's even sometimes creating, knowing creatively when to copy and apply it to our own world. And some of the great hymn writers took bar songs and creatively transferred them from bar songs to worship songs.
Right. Yeah.
And
sure.
So, and I know you're expressing a lot of creativity in your missions work. Now, I know we want to talk about the project, and I'm not sure whether Dr. Sigmund's going to join us or not, but talk to us. You're off to Russia very soon, aren't you?
Right. I'll be leaving on the 15th of May, and we'll be there through the 15th of June. So
wow.
I exceeded the 30-day visa window with 31 days in Russia. And so but we worked out the details of that. I'm really looking forward to this. We have had a very successful project in Ulyanovsk with our OMSEC partners. And we've talked about this in the past, but it was the renovation of a former Soviet youth camp into a Christian camp, and a camping experience that introduces young people to Christ. And they've just had tremendous impact with the what we would call the younger, the millennial generation in Russia. Of course, they are not millennials. They are just the younger generation. But they are a generation that has, for the first time, been out from underneath the oppressive hand of communism for their entire lives. And they think differently than the older generation. And they are wide open to the radical nature of the gospel. And for us in America, the gospel is mundane. It is that from which we seek to rebel sometimes in our youth. But the gospel is the rebellion. It is the rebellion against the wickedness of this world. And it is the most radical thing on the planet. And and they see that. They see the nature of the transformative power of the gospel. And these camping trips that they use to reach out to young people, I've told you before that Sergei Gutz, the president, former president of OMSEC, has said that whenever they've had revival meetings and an evangelist in a tent meeting, and these young people hear the gospel, that he's walked into the equivalent of a giant circus tent and seen everybody in the room on their knees weeping and repenting before God. And it's just a radical revolutionary concept, and Russia's wide open for it. What I'll be doing when I go there is to work with Steve Volstead, who is the new field director for our denomination, and to begin to think how ACAC may partner differently now that this camp project is winding down a bit, and we're looking to open up a new field in St. Petersburg as well.
Are you going to go there?
Yeah, I'll be first going to Moscow, traveling to Ulyanovsk, coming back to Moscow, visiting a couple of sites throughout Moscow. Even can there still remains the possibility that I may go to Ukraine, but I sort of doubt that. But then up for a week and a half in St. Petersburg as well.
Yeah.
And we also have a team that will be traveling from Pittsburgh to St. Petersburg to an Envision site, and that will be led by Kelly Eichenberg.
Yeah, how many people you have going on that?
I think it's 8 people.
Nice.
And so
In the past, you've traveled with a group. You've traveled with a team over, but you're not going with a group this time?
I am. I'm traveling with the team that will be going down to the camp. I'll be spending 2 weeks at the camp, and we will be assessing our current situation, the status of the project there, meeting the new president of OMSEC. They have gone through a leadership transition, and working with Steve Volstead, the new field director, to determine what the best strategy going forward is in terms of the Western Pennsylvania district continuing in relationship, and if that is still a strategically vital role for us to play. If it is, we'll continue. If not, we may be shifting our focus.
So the people going with you from the district again here, Western Pennsylvania?
Yes, we have a much smaller team going this year to the camp project. There are there will be eight of us on that trip as well, and we're going for 2 weeks, and we will be meeting quite a few Russians at the camp, and we have quite a few projects set up to work on. And that's always a very good experience. It is so Russian. We are going into the woods and camping out with Russians, and they treat us with authentic Russian food, authentic Russian peasant food, normal food. And it is an opportunity to connect in very deep ways with Russian Christians, hear the stories of what it was like to live under communism and under the oppressive boot of tyranny for their entire lives, and then to all of a sudden be set free. And they are tremendous stories that they have to tell, and then to see the gospel taking a foothold and to see how the Lord is using the gospel to set people free from alcoholism and drug addiction and just the darkness and hopelessness that the country has lived under for so long.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, my family's of Ukrainian descent, so it would be wonderful one day when you can get down there and work with them. I think Dr. Sigmund is on hold, but I want to ask you, last year, I think we didn't make any trips to Russia because of some of the unrest there. What's the situation like now? Obviously a little better, and you wouldn't be going, but what are you hearing about the conditions there?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, there's some political instability, and that I don't think is going to change anywhere in the near future, but it is not volatile like it was last year. When we were planning our trip last year, Russia had just annexed the Crimea from the Ukraine. They were amassing troops on the border. The United States was imposing sanctions on leaders, Russian leaders, and there was no way to predict where this would escalate to. And so we felt it prudent to not risk the possibility. We didn't think that anybody would be in danger. I'm certain that they would not have been. But as international politics go, it's possible that people could be used as pawns in a game of strategy so that we could have been detained in Russia, or something could have happened, and you just don't know. And so we just felt it prudent not to continue on planning the trip, and so instead we still engaged with the team over there, but we did it long distance, and we sent over a very large contribution to keep the work going. And so in retrospect I think that we could have gone, but I don't have any way of predicting the future, and so I think that we made the right decision.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going this year. The time does go quickly. I mean, it just seems like it was last year when you were saying you weren't going. And the next thing we know, here it is. And so,
if I could just add this quickly. When we began our relationship with OMSEC, the denomination that we've been working with, there was some doubt. There was some suspicion about the legitimacy of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. There were some doctrinal differences between OMSEC and the CNMA. And so the president of OMSEC, Sergei Gutz, had entered into a relationship with us with some trepidation. The interesting thing is, when he stepped down from his position as president of OMSEC and moved to the Ukraine, he took a position as a church planter for the CNMA in Ukraine. And I think that in some ways speaks to the value of relationship and familiarity with people of maybe a different denominational stripe can produce. So we're very pleased with that.
Yeah, and it's our strategy in Kenya. You know, we tell people we're building, we're investing in relationships. You know, certainly they express themselves in projects, but we're investing in relationships. And if you keep going back and working with the same people, those kind of good things can happen. Get to know one another, barriers fall down, and just makes for a more effective work of the ministry. Let me go ahead. We're going to switch gears now. Again, God bless you as you go, but you stay right there. I want to bring Dr. Sigmund on. Dr. Sigmund, welcome to Ministry Beat.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you both.
Thanks. Yeah, it's good. Good. This is your maiden voyage on Ministry Beat. So tell our listeners a little bit about Dr. Kathy Sigmund, who you are, what you do, how you got to ACAC, and then we'll start to transition to the latest ministry initiative we want to talk about.
Well, how much time do you have?
We've got 38 minutes and 25 seconds, and I'll extend it if we have to.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess the short version is... came to this area of Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh specifically, in terms of education. I'm an alum of Geneva College. I got my bachelor's degree many, many moons ago from Geneva and went straight into a doctoral program for clinical psych, graduated from Penn State University with a doctorate degree in clinical psych and went on to a postdoctoral education at Carnegie Mellon, looking at violence and just a number of community problems that often impact mental health in various communities. And so it was in that context of postdoctoral education that I first came in contact with ACAC, Allegheny Center Alliance Church. And it was so funny because I wasn't even looking at it as a church as much as I was looking at it as a community service center. ACAC, back at that time, as it does indeed now, has had tremendous outreach community programming that I think has significantly changed the north side of Pittsburgh. So the executive pastor at that time was Pastor Bruce Jackson, and so connected with him and eventually connected with the rest of the church, and I guess the rest is history. So in regards to your question, I have a background as a clinical psychologist, and I do an awful lot of community work, cultural work in the community as it relates to psychology. I'm also a professor of psychology, counseling, human services at Geneva College now. So I returned to the old college to be a faculty member here full time. And so that's about it. That's the nice short version.
Yeah, Doctor, from the time I was involved at ACAC, you were working, you had an office on the fourth floor, people were coming to see you. Why the interest in the community? You know, a lot of people would get their credentials and move out, you know, where you're teaching, and that would be their focus. And why come back into the city and do what you were doing at that time?
That's a really nice question. I had fought this calling for psychology. No, I'm not joking. You know I'm not joking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From previous conversations since the beginning. I've always had an interest in psychology. Just love the idea of how God has wonderfully integrated people from, like, from my perspective, multiple systems. So we have, you know, we're a spirit being who has a soul that lives in a body. And the soulish part of people is what mental health, behavioral health professionals, psychologists, that's the system that we would specialize in. We wouldn't call it a soul from the secular standpoint necessarily. But actually that's changing too these days, given that psychology is moving very quickly towards not just biopsychosocial spiritual perspective. So at least that's been consideration these days. But I have fought this call for quite some time, and then God gave me an ultimatum, so to speak, when I was in college and was like, you will be going to a doctoral program in psychology. And I cried and I whined and I just, tantrum, you know, had a big old spiritual tantrum because I really wanted to go to the mission field. And I was just so upset that God has said, no, you're not going to the mission field. You are first going to get your doctorate degree. And so went ahead, got my doctorate degree, and it, just as God himself, you know how God works so wonderfully in our lives, but that's the very key. My psychology degree has been the very key that has pretty much opened every single ministry mission door that I've ever gone through. And so to answer your question, I came back to the community because that's where my heart has always been. I see God wanting to touch people and minister to people who are hurting, and as sometimes as difficult as some communities here in Pittsburgh has, are to some folks, there's nothing in Pittsburgh. And I tell people, I'm talking about inner city people here in Pittsburgh, you have nothing on Philadelphia, nothing. There's nothing here in Pittsburgh that comes close to my neighborhood where I grew up in West Philly. So that's what got me back here.
Yeah. Yeah, so your heart is here. And now, Pastor Glenn, when I just ran into you 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, well, we need to have you on. It's been too long. And you thought of you and Dr. Sigmund being on the show. Why did you think of that? What's going on that you would want our listeners to hear about that's really then now the focus for going to be the focus for the remainder of our time? What's going on?
Well, I would like to affirm that the Lord uses Dr. Sigmund in pretty remarkable ways, and she is a unique set of gifts and personality qualities, as I think you know, that enable her to see in ways that maybe the rest of us don't see all that easily. Speaking of creativity, she is a factory of creativity, and in addition to all of the other things that she mentioned that may be a resume, she is also going through the ordination and consecration process for the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and she is also the chaplain for the Northside Christian Health Center, and recognized as such by the Western PA District of the CNMA. And in that capacity, she is also the chaplain for the clinic that the Northside Christian Health Center has up at Northview Heights.
Northview Heights, right.
That's the largest public housing community in the county of Allegheny. And as she was becoming acclimated at the Northview Heights clinic, she got to know people. She got to know the managers, the directors of the programs up there, and became aware of the fact that there was a dearth of human services in the area. And in connecting with the manager, Deidre Washington, they began to express that there was just a great deal of need for things like trauma counseling and parenting classes and grief counseling. There had been some murders in the community the previous summer, and it had caused consternation and fear among the entire population of Northview Heights, as well as the population of workers at Northview Heights as well. And in these conversations with Deidre Washington, Kathy began her what she does so well, her creative thinking about how the church, ACAC in particular, but a number of other churches may engage to be able to bring human services to Northview Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of these conversations, it became clear that there was a fairly large African population, African refugee population. There's a Burundi population, but also a population of approximately 300 and growing Somali Bantus. They prefer to be called Tanzanians or Mozambiques, but that they had been some time ago rescued from the Somali Civil War that took place in the mid-90s. That would have been the time of Black Hawk Down and the issues around Mogadishu. They had escaped and been held in UN refugee camps. They are a when they were in Somalia, they were an agrarian subsistence level farming community with a language that was unwritten. It's an oral language only. They were uneducated, had no access to electricity, plumbing, or any modern conveniences, and so they lived at a very subsistence level, and they became the targets of persecution within their own country. Well, this is the population that's up there. Well, this opened up my eyes, and of course, the big trend in missions is globalization and recognizing the diaspora dissipating throughout the world, and the fact that we have the capacity to minister to internationals right here in our own backyard, whether they come here as refugees like these people, or if they come here for education, the Chinese government sends people to the various universities around here. We have lots of people from India and many other countries in Southeast Asia who come here to work for the many large corporations, and the world is at our door. Well, as a missions pastor, this piqued my interest, and immediately I saw the opportunity to reach a community that this church has wanted to reach for many years, and we really haven't had the means, the avenues, the opportunities. And so when Kathy came to me with these discussions, my response was, of course, we'll do this. This opens the door for me. And so she and I began brainstorming together. She definitely took the lead on it, but I think together we have come up with some pretty remarkable initiatives that I think Kathy would agree have the potential to become just an astonishing outreach to a population that we have longed to reach for quite a long time.
Wow. Yeah.
And,
wow. Go ahead, Kathy, please.
I'm sorry. I forgot we're on radio. But anyway, it's not just astonishing programs. At this point, we are literally a lifeline. We are literally creating a lifeline for this community. In the last month, I cannot tell you the types of difficulties that this refugee population up at Northview Heights has had. It's unbelievable stuff that we as Americans, regardless of our cultural background, as Americans, we just don't even think about the kinds of difficulties that people have from a totally different cultural background. They didn't have toilets. Okay, so if you're in a refugee camp, you don't have toilets. So what do you do here in the States with a toilet? What do you do with the rest of the plumbing and the... So, and that's just the physical sorts of difficulties. Then you have systemic difficulties of trying to navigate schools, hospitals, the human service system. You talk about a complex system. The program that's needed so much and that's literally the folks are begging for is the program that actually Pastor Hannah mentioned, is the English as a Second Language ESL program that we've developed. Now, certainly there are other ESL programs throughout the city, but none up at Northview Heights. And the folks at Northview Heights often have problems with transportation. And so we will house and have housed, we're beginning to house, put it that way, we're piloting an English as a second language program up at Northview Heights. And I can't tell you how important it is. I was late calling in because of a tragic death up at Northview Heights among the African refugees. Mm-hmm. And the tragedy was that a young man had fallen down the stairs, and his sister knew that he had been injured, terribly injured. But when she called 911, there was no one to speak her language, and she got no direction. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened, but it was a long time before the emergency first responders came. She had to eventually go outside at 2 o'clock in the morning and scream down the streets of Northview Heights for help. She did find help. Someone walked her through the process. Again, the ambulance did come, but then there were difficulties handling the body for whatever cultural reasons. I don't know, but it was just a tragedy that I was just on the phone with county folks because it needs to be dealt with, again, systemically. We're not prepared. They're not prepared. And so ACAC, the Allegheny Center Alliance Church, is providing one of the key lifelines to this community.
Wow. Also, John, it's been exciting to see how, as the relationships have built, that there has been a trust that has developed and that the leadership of the community has more and more turned to us because they find a willing and eager support. And Dr. Sigmund has been a large part of that, that whenever they have had they, like any other community, they have there are psychological issues and family issues, all sorts of things that come up, and we have been able to support them through the legal system, through children and youth services, through finding lawyers, through finding counselors, through intervening in different affairs, and it is almost as if ACAC, or this project that doesn't include only ACAC, but other churches as well, is becoming the avenue of first appeal for almost any number of broad problems that the community faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Dr. Kathy, let's go back. You know, I didn't know you were, you know, chaplaining over at, just had Dr. Jerome was in, you know, my MSOL classes up at Beaver Falls.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I knew they were looking for somebody, so I'm really delighted to hear that you're over there. And you were just describing to us, you know, this most recent event with the people up there. What's involved with teaching English as a second language? If somebody's listening, is this something somebody can volunteer to do, or is this a certification or a degree? And what other kinds of things have you seen that have been happening in the community once you got involved?
You know what, that's another really great question. I'm going to defer to Pastor Hannah on the ESL because really he did just a phenomenal job of spearheading not just resources at ACAC. We amassed over 40 volunteers. Can you imagine that? 40 volunteers. That were trained not just in ESL, but they had to go through other types of cultural training. And I tell you, our missions department did a phenomenal, phenomenal job on that. We found missionaries who have background in ministering to Muslim populations. We found missionaries who were in Africa and actually studied in an institute that was pretty much dedicated to the Bantu ethnic group. Those were all Pastor Hannah's contacts. So I'm going to, if you don't mind, defer to Pastor Hannah on that one. And so he can maybe describe some of the folks that he's gotten involved.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I could say it better than that. The opportunity in discussing the challenges that the Housing Authority was facing with this community, that what rose to the top immediately is that they had no capacity to communicate with a large portion of the population. And so the younger children go to school, and so they learn English, but they are losing their native tongue of Kizigua or Maymay, both of which are oral languages only. And the older population that came here as refugees several years ago have not been able to pick up English. They are either not motivated, and it is understandable. They have never been in any situation where it would be have been appropriate to sit down and listen to somebody lecture or teach on any subject ever. And so that's not the learning style that they have. And so education, as we understand it, is a foreign concept to them. And so the thought of going someplace and having somebody teach you a different language is it just not something that occurs to them. And yet they need to have English in order to be able to get by in this culture, 21st century America. So the Housing Authority is unable to discuss contracts with them, unable to understand whenever the toilets are stuffed up or whenever there's some problem with any other problem that they could come across. And, of course, they can't read, so they can't be you can't communicate with them through a written language at all. And so this immediately arose to the top as the biggest problem that the Housing Authority had. And so in discussing with the leaders that this was also the problem, well, that we recognized, okay, this is step one. And so then we started to research means of teaching. How do we educate people well to be able to start out with people who don't even understand the concept of a written language? And we had some experience with Dr. Bill Kaufmeel, and a system of English teaching that he has developed, which is called, the name of his organization is called Christian Literacy Association.
Right.
And we had sent, I don't know whether you remember, we sent a young woman who had, she was a high school graduate, and we had trained her for 2 days. Actually, it was for 1 day in this system. She went over and worked with missions outreach in Spain with some non-English speaking people, and within a 2.5 week period of time, she had them speaking and writing English, and with 1 day's worth of training. And so we know this is a good and effective means. So we brought in people to teach this system for the 40-some volunteers, and then we engaged them in cultural training. And Dr. Sigmund did some cultural training, and as she said, we brought in, I think we had 5 total cultural trainings, sensitivity trainings, and our people are so highly motivated. We had a good response for each one. People are excited. They're thrilled with the opportunity to be able to reach out cross-culturally right here in our own backyard. And this has been met within the church and within other churches as well with a great deal of enthusiasm.
Yeah, good explanation. And okay, Dr. Kathy, now the second part of the question was, what else is going on up there? Glenn said you've taught some cultural sensitivity. What else have you jumped in to do with the open door that's up there?
There's a couple of different things, and I actually divide the types of activities I do between the internationals who are, as we've been saying over and over again, primarily African refugees from a variety of different countries. And then you have the traditional community, the traditional American community up at Northview Heights. And so with the traditional American community, they also have had just significant amounts of tragedy associated with community violence. They've had a lot with grief and loss. They, too, tend to be undereducated. They, too, tend to be at the higher rates of poverty. And with poverty, you have all sorts of social problems. And so to address those issues more directly, we have developed a chapel service. And this chapel service we hold once a week on Sunday between 3 and 4 up at Northview Heights. And it's a typical worship service is what it is. And being culturally competent and also loving the Lord and wanting to share, you know, the Lord and all of his goodness with other people, predominantly African-American culture resonates with using religious services to address issues of like stress, other psychosocial issues. If you remember the history of the African-American Christian church here in the States, it tends to be historically the center of any community that we have.
Right.
If you think of the leaders that are African-American in our country historically, they have all, every single last one of them, have a church background or religious background of some kind. And so the church continues to serve as a major vehicle of not just, you know, religious experience. It's not just that for us. It is the center of by which we socialize. It's the core of the community. And so when you have a public housing community like Northview Heights, it doesn't have such a core to it. The community tends to be more disenfranchised. And so we believe that at chapel service, and from all accounts that I've heard, and we continue to grow, it's just providing hope. It's providing a healing. It's providing social alternatives to otherwise very negative behavior. we'll put it that way, negative behavior. And what's very important to the African American community is the ability to testify, to talk about what God has done in our lives. And we have that every Sunday, and just the testimonies, Pastor John, I can't tell you. And, well, you know, you're very familiar with the African-American community. The testimonies are just tremendous encouragement to the community at large. So that's one thing. So we're doing chapel services, and we're also doing pastoral care, spiritual care, on site at Northview Heights, and this is great fun. At least once every other month, we have a large community event of some kind. And actually, City Reach Church Network is responsible for the lion's share of these huge community events. They've been up there for years. City Reach Church is an Assemblies of God church that we partner with. And they have done a just tremendous job of keeping the community engaged in terms of these large outreaches where everybody just has fun. And so it's really neat. And actually, we have one coming up fairly shortly. So.
And are we still doing, or we wanted to do Sidewalk Sunday School up there. Are we doing that up there? Do you guys know anything about that through children's ministry?
Yes, it was in its... It's very interesting. You say Sidewalk Sunday School, but that's exactly what the model is, the Sidewalk Sunday School model. But we call it in our church, Church in the Park.
All right,
and,
Church in the Park.
Yeah, it's Church in the Park. And they were there for about a year and a half. I have not seen them there this year. And I'm not sure.
They won't. Yeah, they generally do. They do spring and fall, so hopefully they'll be back.
Right, and actually they were partnered a little bit differently than what we're partnered up there, but nonetheless they were doing a nice job, and kids were having fun, and kids were getting to know the Lord.
Yeah, now Pastor Glenn informed me, I didn't know you were studying to be official worker recognition through CMA. Talk to our listeners a little bit about the decision to pursue that.
Well, I am licensed provisionally through the Christian and Missionary Alliance, as we speak, as a chaplain and special assignment minister. It was a really interesting decision for me because I hadn't really considered it, even though I wanted to be a missionary with all my heart since I can remember, I wanted to be a missionary. But pretty much had conceded to what God stated about psychology. So I would constantly integrate, even in graduate school. I went to a secular graduate school, as I mentioned, Penn State University. But my graduate school is very supportive of my integration, even then, of my religious beliefs and just the power of God's word and the power of God in people's lives. So I would integrate that understanding, my world, Christian worldview, with psychology. I've always done that. And so Geneva College was an easy jump for me to integrate that in a classroom setting as well. What happened to me in terms of really feeling a push to be an ordained ministry was as the Lord began to reveal his gifts through me, his spiritual gifts, I felt an increasing, how can I put it, need for spiritual covering and spiritual ministry, a whole different track from my psychology practice. When I started to go overseas to do ministry in terms of teaching pastoral care in African countries, partnering with national denominations to do that, I kept coming across people who were spiritually possessed, not Holy Spirit possessed, but demonized, and
right.
Got more and more involved in deliverance ministry and felt a need because of deliverance ministry is such a, it's a touchy subject in many
uh-huh.
places, and so just felt a need for a different kind of license because I know God
uh-huh.
had called me to, when I see someone that's demonized, and he's telling me to pray for them and ask them whether they want to be delivered or whatnot, I needed to be able to respond ministerially versus as a psychologist. And so
right.
with that sort of need in mind
yeah.
is what yeah drew me into the ministry, as well as God just literally calling me
sure.
to
sure.
the ministry too. So.
Yeah, we hope that's a piece. We hope God is calling you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but, I mean, to get
yeah.
into that call, we get into the prophetic, and I don't know if you want this show to go take that turn. I don't know. So, and that is a turn because
one
we
day.
Have so many folks. Excuse me?
Sure. No, one day we will. You know, we just...
okay.
I don't have any problems with that. Or you know what the deliverance issue. I just had somebody meet with me the other day, you know, that just needed some... They felt some help getting free from some demonic influence. So I resonate with all of that. But we'll do it at another time.
Okay.
Let's see. We only have 6 or 7 minutes. Kathy, what else would we need to know about the work that's going on that you're doing in the North Side or Northview Heights? Any final words?
We need help is
okay.
one of the final words I want to put out there. That work is a huge, huge work. And I believe the Lord has said to me that we need to chapel the city. For the city is his servants. For the city
uh-huh.
is his house, excuse me, and its
uh-huh.
system, his servants. We need
uh-huh.
to chapel the city. Oftentimes, churches stay so inward, you know, they minister to themselves, they minister to the folks right inside their house. But God is saying, hey, this entire city is mine. And so we need to minister like the entire city is mine, including in public places. And so we have such a wide open door to Northview Heights and that public housing facility with requests from the housing authority leadership that we take this ministry to other housing authority
uh-huh.
Communities. And so
wow.
we need help. We really need help. We're partnered with the Alliance. Other churches in the Alliance have come along to help us. As I mentioned before, the Assemblies of God, we're having other denominations come alongside
uh-huh.
too. So as long as folks are evangelical, whether that's Catholic or Protestant, or as long as folks are claiming the name of Jesus and claiming Jesus as Lord and Savior and Healer, we're wanting to work with them. And the work is extremely huge, and we need laborers in the field.
Yeah. Glenn, what's the best way if somebody's listening and they want to get involved? And listen, I know there's all level of involvements. So we're not talking necessarily about teaching here, just showing up and being a support. What's the best way for somebody to do that? Who should they get in touch with?
Well, they should get a hold of me or of Emily Quinn, my assistant. And one of the things that we're encountering is that this has a fairly large administrative cost to it in terms of man hours. And so we need volunteers, not only to who are skilled or interested in ministering on a one-on-one basis, teaching English or counseling or whatnot, but the structural aspects of this where we are actually able to schedule and implement things strategically, the cost is fairly high in terms of time. And so if somebody's interested in volunteering some administrative skills, we would love to have that as well. I would like to park for a moment on one of the things that Dr. Sigmund had mentioned, and that is that the Housing Authority of the City of Pittsburgh has sanctioned this. We had a meeting with the executive director, Castor Binion, and he has endorsed what we are doing. And after he had asked quite a few questions about what we were looking to do, he ended a meeting in the executive conference room at the City of Pittsburgh by saying to us, well, we need you not only to do this in Northview Heights, but we also need you to do this in Sinclair Village and in Allegheny Dwellings, and he named off some other places. And one of the things that is there just are not enough human services, and these are means for opening the doors for us to preach the gospel. And what the county and the city have said to us is, please come and do this, and this could be, if we can do this well, if we can put this together and in a way that glorifies the Lord and serves the community well, this can become a model for reaching into to communities across the nation. And we're just very excited about what the potential for this can be in terms of shining light in some of the darkest places in our cities.
Sure. All right, well, you're listening, and God is moving your heart. Don't put this off till tomorrow. Don't say, well, I'm going to pray about it. Just pick up the phone, call the church, 412-321-4333, and ask for Emily Quinn, and or drop me a line, johnstanko@gmail.com, and I'll get it to Pastor Glenn or Dr. Kathy, and they'll be in touch, and you'll find an outlet to be involved. I want to thank both of you for being on today. I know you're busy people. We could spend a lot more time talking about what's going on. Glenn, God be with you as you go to Russia. And Dr. Kathy, God be with you as you go up to Northview Heights and over to the clinic and everything else God has you involved in. Keep up the good work.
Pastor John, thank you so much for this opportunity. We love you and appreciate all that you do.
Thank you so much. Dr. Sigmund, you be well.
You too. God bless
you. I know. Thanks for your time. So long. All right. Wow, what an informative interview. So much going on, and I learned a lot, and I hope you did too. And I want to encourage you again, if you are interested in helping out with what's going on up in Northview Heights, it's a wonderful open door. We want to encourage you to follow through on what's in your heart. Well, this is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat. I'm not quite sure who we're going to have on next week. We've got some irons in the fire, some feelers out. In the meantime, I'll see you around campus. Not this weekend. Happy Mother's Day. I'll be in New York City, but we'll be back next Tuesday, and then I'll see you in church the following week. This is John Stanko, your host, signing off for another week. You take care. We'll talk to you again soon. So long.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the ACAC Internet Radio Network for more interviews and insight into the life of Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.blogtalkradio/ACAC Threads. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.